You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We're going to talk about some additional situations where you have a person who claims to be a Kohen or is suggested that there's a witness that he's a Kohen. And the question is, how much of that do we rely on? So let me give you just the example that we're going to start with. And that is the case of, let's say, there's a document. There's a shtar that says Plony's, two people are signed the document. One of them is a Kohen. So he signs on the bottom, I'm a Kohen. That's how he signs his name. Or alternatively, maybe better yet, is if he's a person in a document, and let's say, for example, a Kohen got married. It's a regular girl, nothing unusual about her. But he's described, Hachasan, Yankel HaKohen. And then there are two witnesses on the bottom. So is that sufficient evidence, the very fact that there are two witnesses who signed as Edim on the Ksuva, is that sufficient Edus that this person is a Kohen? Because, that's a pretty scary thing, because I've been a witness on a Ksuva before, and I never did a genealogical study of the person's name. Sometimes I'm there from the Kalis side, someone's there from the Chassan side, and you're signing on the bottom of the Ksuva that, yes, I hereby see that the Chassan was Mechayev himself to this Chiv Ksuva. I don't know who the Chassan is. I certainly don't know if he's a Levi or a Chassan. I rely on the whatever Talmud Chacham or not Talmud Chacham wrote the Ksuva. I just sort of signed. So if we can say that you're going to rely on my signature that I signed on the bottom, and it says that the Chassan is a Kohen, so now you're going to assume that since he's a, there's testimony that he's a Kohen. Does that work? So this question is called Mailin Mishtaros Liyuchsin. Could you take a shtar and based on the name Kohen, somebody's referenced as a Kohen in a shtar, could you therefore assume that he is a kosher Kohen for all intensive purposes? So this is actually Gemara's question, Ksuvas Chavdalim and Beis, as you see right here. Ibailuhu. I have to get my recorder on. Sorry. Good morning, Rabosai. Today we're going to discuss if a person signs on a document with the name Kohen, is that sufficient to assume that he was there for a Kohen because there was an Eidus and a Shtar? So the Gemara Ksuvas Chavdalad Amud Beis says, Yibayeluhu asks, Mahu lahalos mishtaros liyachsin? Can you elevate somebody from the fact that there's a Shtar that mentions that he's a Kohen? Is that sufficient evidence to demonstrate that he must be a Kohen? Says the Gemara, well, what's the case? Because that's going to be very significant when we talk about if we could trust the Eidus and the Shtar or not. So there are going to be two possibilities. Well, let's say Mr. Cohen was asked, called up Mechubed mit Eid Ksuva Yankel Cohen. So Yankel Cohen signs on the bottom of the Shtar. He says, I am Yankel ben Yitzchak HaKohen. So, Chasamti Eid. I'm an Eid, fine. So, should that work? It says the Gemara, why should that help? All it is a person who's saying about himself that he's a Kohen. There's no test, just because it happens to be written in a shtar, why is that any different than one person walking into any other room or any Beis Din or any other situation claiming, hey, I'm a Kohen, which we wouldn't believe him liyachsin. Man kamasid alei ilavei asks Gemara. No one's testifying about him. He's just claiming that he is. Lo tzricha, a different situation. Dechsibe ani ploni kohen, lavisi imanu meploni. So there's a document that says, that references one of the players in the document. In this case, it's a halvash, an IOU document, a borrowing instrument, that Yankel Kohen, borrowed money. And then on the bottom, there are witnesses who sign. The Chasim Asadei Mai. So what's the question? The question is, when those two witnesses sign on the bottom of that document, what are they really testifying about? Are they testifying about the fact that this guy Yankel owes $150? Or are they testifying on every aspect that's in this document? Now, I'm not going to look in the next line of the Gemara, but when you would ask me, if I am asked to sign a ksuva, what do I know? I don't know anything about I'm from the Kalis side. I'm the rabbi of the Kalis father's shul. I don't know the chassan. I don't know the chassan genealogy. So when I sign, that's testifying about every point in the shtar, including that the kohen happens to be a kosher kohen, that's a little frightening. Well, that's exactly the shaila of the Gemara right here. When I sign a document, when you sign a document, what are you signing on? Are you signing just on the point that he was mechayiv himself $150, which is what typically happens when you sign a ksuva, for example? You see that the chassan lifts up a pen, a handkerchief, eyeglasses, whatever it is, he lifts up and says, I accept upon myself the obligations of a ksuva. Okay, so you, when you sign the ksuva or any other document, you're testifying that he accepted upon himself these obligations contained herein, but not necessarily in all the other details. Well, that's this. Let's see the Gemara asks, Amana shebishtar kamisade? Are all you testifying when you sign on the bottom of the, on the dotted line on the bottom of the shtar is just on the $150 that the of the IOU? Odilma akula milsa kamisade? Maybe you're testifying on every aspect. You put your name on the bottom. That means that you are verifying everything that's written in the shtar, including the fact that Yankel Cohen is a Cohen. So what's the halach in this case? Rav Huna, Rav Chista, it's a machlokas. Chadamar malin, v'chadamar ein malin. It's taka machlokas. It's machlokas whether you could assume that the witnesses on the bottom clarify that he was indeed a Kohen, in which case you could be mala from this shtar to Yuchsin. Or no, the witnesses on the bottom are only testifying about the money, and therefore, more than the money, we don't know. We don't know if the people, the name specifically is precise, is accurate, is Yankel HaKohen is really a Kohen. I don't know that. And that's Machlokas Amuran. So how are we going to paskin? So comes the Beis Yosef. In Eben Ezra Siman Gimel, and we're up to Sif Beis, and the Sif Beis. If Ifligu Amurai, there's Machlokas Amuran, Imalin Mishtos Liyachsin or not? Upasak, and how do we paskin? Kaman to Omar, Ein Malin. We don't rely on these signatures. In other words, the maskana of this Machlokas is that we can't rely just because someone signed on the bottom of a document that therefore, we know, oh, the guy, the chassan in the picture must be a Kohen. No. Umashma, says the Gemara, Umashma de ad kan lo pligi el yuchsin, aval etruma de devrehen, pshita de malin. We see something interesting. The Gemara only questioned whether we could rely on this signature of the Edim for something big, for Yuchse, which is a chashuv thing. But to eat Truma Durabanan, the Gemara didn't even ask. It sounds like eating Truma Durabanan, it's only Durabanan. So that, of course, will rely on the on these witnesses. The Gemara's question was only on something big like Yuchse, and there's a machlokas. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. But it sounds like for Truma Durabanan, we would rely on it, because Truma Durabanan is a smaller... has a smaller threshold of proof, needs a smaller raya than yuchsin, which is a more chashuv thing. So if the shaila was only about is yuchsin, can we rely on these signatures for yuchsin? It sounds like anything less than yuchsin, we certainly can rely on. Oh, so if that's the case, what emanates from this Gemara is that regarding yuchsin, this machlokas. We're talking machmir, we don't rely on yuchsin. But for anything less than yuchsin, like eating truma d'rabbanan, we can rely on such a document. So if you have a document that comes out where the person inside the document, the borrower, the lender, the chassan, is identified as a kohen, and there are two signatures on the bottom of this document, this person referenced in the document as a kohen can eat truma. Umasha Kasav, he's quoted, the Beis Yosef is in the middle of talk quoting somebody. Umasha Kas, that's what which was mentioned, I don't know by who, but Medvar Mum Bizman Hazeh. This is only true by Truma Drabbanan, of course. Aval Ein Malin Mishtaros Lach Ziku Bekoe L'Shar Shal Gabi HaMizbech, that's obvious. Fine. Next point. Let's jump to the next point in the Beis Yosef. Umasha Kosav, again, I'm not sure who he's quoting. V'chei Misha Yidu Olav, Shur'u Shanose Kapav. You see a guy, I know that I saw him duchen. I remember I was in a shul and he duchened. Is that testimony sufficient? The fact that you saw somebody duchening, is that enough to allow him to do other things of a Kohen stature? For the zman hazeh halachas, meaning to eat truma bizman hazeh, that would be sufficient. Kolomer lechol truma bizman hazeh, which is only to rabbanon, that would be okay. Avalolu yuchsin. So again, if you see somebody duchen, the very fact that you saw him duchen, that's enough to allow him. You could go ahead and testify that he's a kohen as regards to him eating truma and maybe getting an aliyah for rishon, but not necessarily for yuchsin. Certainly not to eat truma d'oraisa, nor to serve on the mizbeach. Of course not. Okay, so that's the background. Now let's jump straight into the Shulchan Aruch. We're in Siman Gimel Sif Beis. We did the beginning of Sif Beis, and now we're going to look at the last part of Sif Beis, and that's and then after this we'll go, yeah, we're just a little bit about this. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Afilu mishtaros ma'ale lekuna bizman hazeh. You could be ma'ale lekuna for shtaros. What does he mean? Didn't the Gemara say that wasn't the conclusion that we're not going to rely on the shtaros for Yuchsin? Right. We're not going to rely on the shtaros for Yuchsin, but anything less than Yuchsin, like Truma Bizman Hazeh, we will rely on. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Afilu mishtaros ma'alin l'kuluna bizman hazeh, keitzad haso, hareisha yakasa bishtar. Now you know the way that the shtar that we're talking about is going to be the specific case where the Kohen isn't saying, I'm a Kohen, but rather the person is mentioned as a Kohen, and then there are two signatures on the bottom. Hareisha yakasa bishtar, ploni Kohen lava mi ploni mana. It's a new phrase. Kohane zman hazeh. You know, we rely for getting aliyahs, maybe for duchening, for eating truma derabanan. That much we'll rely on, as long as you signed on the bottom. There are witnesses on the bottom of your ksuva that somebody was a kohen. So this happens all the time. You see, I told you that I have a chasa coming up this Sunday, right? So that whenever somebody asks me to be Masada Kedushin, the first thing I ask them is, could I see your parents' ksuva? Because that just gives me a heads up. It makes sure everyone was Jewish, there was no geirus that you have to look into. If there's a Kohen or a Levi or a geirus, a divorce that has to be just clarified before going forward. So it's a helpful thing. So if I would get a document that says Kohen, and there are two witnesses on the bottom of that ksuva, hey, we could assume I could give this guy truma derabanan. That's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. And secondly, as we saw a moment ago in the Beis Yosef as well, v'chein ma'alim min nesius kapayim. Ooh, look at this. This we didn't see. Umi kriya batara rishon. Also lios koi kakone zman hazeh. Let's say you're in a shul and you see a guy get rishon. He's called up Yamod Yankel Kohen. Kohen, Yamol, Yankel, so-and-so, Kohen. So you could give that guy Truma Derabanan. The very fact that he got Rishon, that he got Rishon and Shul, assuming that Levi got Levi, of course. So therefore, you know the first one was Kohen. You could give this fellow Truma Derabanan. What about that case that we raised earlier? You remember we raised the case earlier when the Kohen in the shtar was not the subject of the shtar, the one who borrows the money or who lends the money, nor the chassan or the father of the chassan, the father of the kal. But what if the aid himself signs, Ani Yankel Kohen aid? We said before maybe that wouldn't work. But look what the Rama writes. The Rama quotes Aran. It says, V'yei shomrim dim chassam atzmo Ani ploni Kohen aid, that bizman hazeh it works. The only time it doesn't work is for Truma D'Oraisa, for Yuchsin, things that are serious. But for a Kohen Bizman Hazeh, where the stakes are not so high, it's only a matter of Truma D'Rabbanan or something like that, then even if he claims that he himself is a Kohen, he's a self-proclaimed Kohen, and he signed an Ishtar, that's also enough. That's the Rama. On this point, the Beis Shmuel clarifies that it's not so simple. He says, wait a second. Let's look at these words again. If you signed, do we have any Kohanim on the call right now? Let me see who's here.
Yes.
Dr. Marin, you're a Kohen. Okay. So let me use you as a guinea pig, with all due respect. I'll use Dr. Marin. So Dr. Marin signs, he's mechubed with, you want to get a rabbi doctor, right? Every ksuva wants to have a signature. You want to have a rabbi doctor sign on the bottom, right? It's chashev. So mechubed rabbi doctor Neil Marin with aid ksuva. So that rabbi doctor Neil Marin will sign on the bottom. Naum. Rabbi Dr. Neil Marin ben, I don't know what your father's name, HaKohen. Okay? So you signed HaKohen. So now the Ramah says that the very fact that you did that, we can now start giving you, we could start giving you Kohen, we could let you go up to the Duchen, we could start giving you Truma Bizmanazeh. Can I ask you a question? What happens if you go to Eretz Yisrael? Now in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to give you Truma, right? So when the Ramah said, remember, this Ramah was written, obviously it was written in Krakow, and quoting the Ran who wrote it in Spain, when he said, Mahani Bizman Hazeh, that will rely, even if you signed the document yourself, and you claimed you had a self-proclamation that you're a Kohen, will rely on you to consider yourself a Kohen, is that Bizman Hazeh, meaning all things Bizman Hazeh, even Truma Darabanan? Like if you would be in Eretz Yisrael, we'd give you Truma Darabanan? There's no Truma Daraisa nowadays. There's only Truma Darabanan. But if that's in Eretz Yisrael. But in Krakow, or in Spain, or in New York, we don't have Truma Darabanan either. So is this reliance that the Ramah is permitting Dr. Marin, who signed his own name and put Cohen behind, it's like when you write your own initials after your name, you can put any initials you want. You could turn into an MD, PhD, just LLM. You could write whatever you want. If you're, I could write whatever I want behind my name. If you don't believe me, don't believe me. But hey, Dr. Marin claims that he's a Kohen, so could we rely on that even for Truma Darabanan? So comes the Beis Shmuel and says, wait a second. He quotes the Chalkas Mechalkik. Hadema honey, kishakosev ani ploni Kohen, if you wrote the words, Dr. Marin, ani ploni Kohen, that would only work if you were signing that document at a chasna in. The chasna is in Eretz Yisrael. Hanodavka be'Eretz Yisrael. If you signed that ksuva when you at your niece's chasna in Yerushalayim, and you wrote HaKohen in Eretz Yisrael, oh, well, it's in Eretz Yisrael, so we're going to give you truma here. D'yesham truma, ven karno so la Torah below raya, l'chei mahanim kasav kain. Aval b'chutz la'aretz, sh'olu la Torah l'kohen, yesh loma sh'kasav kain, ani ploni kohen, mishum sh'olu la Torah kohen. L'chein ein somchan al zeb Eretz Yisrael. A fascinating point that he's saying. He's saying that, where did you sign this ksuva? If Dr. Marin would be at a ksuva at the Marina Del Rey, well, he wrote Cohen. He called himself a Cohen. Should I believe him? Yeah, why not? It's only, what's the big risk? Why is he claiming he's a Cohen? Well, he's claiming he's a Cohen because the Gabbai and Shul gives him Cohen. But who's to say that we would give him Truma in Eretz Yisrael? I don't know if we would do that. Maybe he's calling himself a Cohen because this morning, it was a Monday or a Thursday, and this morning he got an Aliyah. And we gave him Cohen, so we believed him enough for that. However, if he signs this document at his niece's wedding in Yerushalayim, and they call him up, Mechubed mit Eid Ksuva, the uncle from the fetter from the Kala, Dr. Rabbi Dr. Neil Marin, and he signs it in Eretz Yisrael. Well, in Eretz Yisrael, why does he write that I'm a Kohen? In Eretz Yisrael, you write that you're a Kohen, not just because you got Kohen this morning. You signed that you're a Kohen because they give you Truma Darabanan. Oh, if there, where you get Truma Darabanan and you sign it, you're a Kohen, it must be, there's something to you. You must taka be a Kohen. And therefore, we could rely on you being a full Kohen. But if you would write this same signature, the same kibbutz, the same signature, the same niece, just she got married to an American guy in the marina, then your same signature will not be as telling as if that signature were to take place in Eretz Yisrael. Because the signature in the Marina Del Rey only tells us that we give you, that you call yourself a Kohen because you get Rishon. And that's not such a significant thing, because a lot of people, you could finagle to get yourself a Rishon. You're good friends with a Gabbai, he gives you Rishon, he calls you Kohen, makes you feel good. Not what's the problem, and it's all, not a big deal. But in Eretz Yisrael, it means something very different. If you would make that, if you would sign your name at the, at the Ramada Renaissance in Yerushalayim, or the something in Talpio, one of those Chasal in Yerushalayim there, where you're signing as a Kohen, that's a demonstration that I'm called a Kohen in Eretz Yisrael, where there is Truma Darabanan. So that signature is a more meaningful signature. which is a fascinating point that the Chalukas B'Chalukah is saying. You have the same exact signature on the same ksuva. It depends where you signed it. If you signed in Eretz Yisrael, oh, that's a raya that you create truma. If you signed that in the marina, then all it tells you is that you got kohen this morning. It doesn't necessarily mean that you could that will believe you legabe truma.
Yeah, is he saying that the person himself would not have the chutzpah to declare himself a kohen in Eretz Yisrael, or that other people would be react more to his declaration?
I think the first one. I'm not sure, but I think it means that the fact that you sign that you're a Kohen because that's what people call you, right? Like, let's say, like in Lakewood, everyone's a rabbi. That doesn't mean they have smicha. Most guys in Lakewood don't have smicha, but they've been learning for 15 years. So in NYU, you learn for 3 years. After college, you're called a rabbi. In Lakewood, you learn for 15 years after college. You didn't go to college. You learned for 3 years of college and another 15 years, but you didn't get smicha. But no, they call you rabbi. So you're going to sign a document, my name is rabbi whatever. You don't necessarily have to, but you call rabbi because that's how it works in Lakewood. Everybody's a rabbi, right? You go through the phone book, everybody's rabbi. Everybody in Lakewood is a rabbi. Not even because they're called a rabbi. So you call yourself rabbi. Why do you call yourself rabbi? Because that's what I'm called. But in Eretz Yisrael, you'd only call yourself a rabbi in the first place. You'd only still call yourself a kohen in the first place if you'd be the guy that they would give truma to. You wouldn't dare call yourself a rabbi, a kohen in Eretz Yisrael if you just got kohen and people wouldn't give you truma.
Rabbi
in New York, all you need is people to call you to call you up for kohen, and you'd already call yourself a kohen. So I think it's how he perceives his identity or how people perceive him. That's what I think.
Yeah, rabbi, there's also the inyan of pinyan b'chorah, which applies to Eretz too. And so it works two ways. One is, do you say the Chalukas B'Chalukah doesn't focus on that? He could have, been done a pigeon b'chor and gotten the five shkalim, and that's still right.
Yeah,
so
you're making a very good ha'ara. I don't have a good answer for you. I have just 1.1 ha'ara. It could be that pidyon b'chor, any individual who's any father who has the right to choose for himself a kohen. And no, I don't have a good answer for you. I was going to say that.
No, I've been involved.
Cohen, who he relies on.
I've been involved in Pidyon Bechor, where they want to have a safer yuchas and a yuchas that you're a Kohen miyuchas. And they don't rely on Stam a Kohen. They want to have something which shows that for generations the Kohen was in the family.
Well, let's say you didn't have such a from family.
Then a lot of people will not use you. Then they want a Kohen miyuchas because it's some... Because some say in the rice or whatever you're saying,
yeah.
And it's also from your side, you don't want to be over on Gazela.
Right, that's true. I'll tell you a very geshmaka story. This week, mamish this week in my shir, how did it come up? I have a boy in my shir this year who's, why did we talk about Pidyon HaBen? Maybe we were talking about the parsha. I think we're talking about the parsha. We were talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Makas Bechoros, and we came up with Pidyon HaBen. And one of my boys said, his father is a Gentile and his mother's Jewish. And he is, I don't know if he's an only child or he's the eldest child. And he said he didn't have a Pidyon HaBen. So I said, I have to double check. Is there any halacha about if the father's a guy? Does that make, because we were talking about Peter Rechem, that Pidyon HaBen is, depends on the mother. The mother, it has to be if there's a cesarean section, it's not Petarechem, it's not what opened up the womb. And therefore, if a man has three wives, so all three Bechoros from each of the wives, we don't care about the father because it's Tali and Petarechem, three mothers, three wombs that were opened up, three Petarechem, so there'll be three Pidyon HaBens, even though it's only one father. So he said, my father's a Gentile. I didn't know that until he said this, and he shared it with the class. He said, my father's a Gentile, but my mother's... I think he said my father is not an atheist, not a Gentile. I think he said he's a Ben Noach. My father's a Ben Noach, I think he said, and a conscientious Ben Noach. And my mother's Jewish, so do I need a Pidyon HaBen? I said, I think so. Does anyone remember? If the father's a guy, then a Gentile, then we do the Pidyon HaBen, right? I have to double check. I might be making Pidyon HaBen this week for my 21, 22-year-old student this week. I don't know if you could do a pidyon haben on Zoom. We'd probably have to go eat the chicken and the pastrami sandwiches in the same room, probably.
No, but please share with us, Rabbi. I'm interested to hear and the how it sounds. Yeah.
I think I have to double check. I have to get back to him. I have to get back to him soon because he has to be pulled to himself. But yeah, Dr. Mann, if you could show me in McGill's Yipsa, maybe we'll call you up to Washington Heights and you'll get a free pastrami sandwich.
Michael's on.
Yeah, that's what my son did.
I'll get you a parking spot.
Oh, now you're talking.
Okay.
My son Rav Shmuel Deutsch, if I think at Kol Torah, he was in the country by chance at the time of my grandson's, and then my son insisted on using him because he is a Kohen Miuchas, if you know his name. Uh-huh. Years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So my question is, let's say you have a shtar and the Kohen didn't write Kohen. Does that negate his kahuna?
That's interesting.
I don't know the answer. I mean, it calls into question, at least
it calls into question. The question is, do we take a roll? Do we go most of the time, some of the time, whatever? If he wrote it once, is that enough? But the rest of the time, they don't write it?
Meaning, let's say a guy signed, let's say you were called up for a ksuva and you didn't write HaKohen after your name. Should the gabbai therefore not give you Rishon the next morning?
Exactly.
I don't know the answer to that. Okay, interesting, Shilas. And I don't know the ultimate. You're asking a good question. You're saying if we're only going to rely on him for his own, in his own signature, if we're saying that you're only going to rely on him in a place like Eretz Yisrael, only the Rabbanans, you're saying, but what about Pidyon HaBen? Why could he claim, be a self-claimed Kohen regarding Pidyon HaBen? I don't know the answer. Good question. We'll have to look this
up. No, Pidyon HaBen is the Doraisa.
Exactly. So maybe we should not rely on a self-proclaimed.
That's why people use Kohen Miuchas.
It's nice to look for a Kohen Miuchas. I don't know if you're mechliyev to. It's a lechatchil. I don't know mechliyev to.
Yeah, but then again, mitzad the Kohen, you don't want to be a goslin.
Some Kohenim would be very happy to get $50. I know a lot of people are very happy to steal. You know, if it's not even considered stealing, it's considered. You know, you're giving. You know, okay. You're right. If you're conscientious, you don't want to take it if you're not a miyuchas. I hear. Okay. Rabosa, that's the end of Sif Beis. Let's go on to Sif Gimel. Sif Gimel is going to be very quick. It's a very short discussion. And this is going to be an interesting question. And let me present it to you. If I would say that someone's a Kohen, I walk into shul and I say, there's a guy, a new guy in the back. I say, oh, I know. We were in yeshiva together. We were in, you know, this out of town yeshiva together. And I remember that. Let me rephrase that. Let me start the story again. There's a guy who comes to shul. And I say, oh, I know this guy's dad. This guy's dad was in yeshiva with me. And he was the Kohen in the yeshiva. He was the guy who duchened. He was the guy who got Rishon. He was the guy who ate our truma. His dad is a Kohen. You could go ahead and give him Rishon. Now, you realize the jump that we just made. I see Mr. Saad is nodding. You realize the jump. The jump that we just made is that, wait a second, his father, I know, is a Kohen. But just because your father's a Kohen, it doesn't always mean that the son is a Kohen, right? The father
could have That's this sugya
we're going to talk about. Just to illustrate, before we see this sugya, I'm going to tell you the story that I think I've told you before about my student about 10 years ago, who Baruch Hashem is a Ben Torah now. He is went on to get smicha recently. And when he became religious in high school through New Jersey NCSY, and he came to the JSS program, the beginner program that I taught, and he was in my shir. And I think the year before he was in my shir, he was in another Rebbe's shir, and they were learning about Kohanim. And yeah, he's a Kohen. His father is a Kohen, and he's a Kohen. And he davened every day at that point, but he went to synagogue. I don't know if it was a conservative synagogue or an Orthodox synagogue, but he went to synagogue every Yantiv, and he would do Birchas Kohanim, and he would get Rishon. And then when he was 18 or 19 years old, in the Rebbe that he had before me, Rabbi Eli Allen, who made Aliyah, one of the Rebbeim in JSS, the conversation came up that in order to be a Kohen, your father has to only marry or only live with somebody who's Ksheir al-Kahuna. And it ends up being that, I think I told the story, that his mother, he knew that his mother was very cool girl, let's call it like that, and she was socially active, I'll use the word socially active, in a secular college campus, and he was able to get into a conversation in a very uncomfortable way, trying to, without going into details, and he realized that his mother, before she married her father, his father had been with a Gentile, and therefore, according to the Rambam, that mother therefore has a halacha of a zona. A woman who slept with a Gentile, according to the Rambam, has a halacha of a zona, and therefore the father, who's the Kohen, married a woman who's a zona, and therefore the child, this student of mine, is a chalo. And therefore he's no longer a Kohen. So he had a little bit of an identity crisis when he was 19 years old, that he was a Kohen until now, and all of a sudden he learned a little bit of halacha, and he realizes that he's indeed not a Kohen. It was quite a crush to the family. And
He is a Kohen. He's just considered a Kohen cholo. He doesn't have a Kedushas Kohuna, but he's still a Kohen.
Okay. I'm not sure if that's semantical, but he can't get Rishon. He can't Duchen anymore. And we can't do it again anymore.
And he doesn't pass on the kahuna to his own kids. It's halal forever. So
if I say I went to yeshiva with this guy's dad, is that going to be a riot that this dad's son is a Kohen? As you see from this story, the father could be a Kohen or could have been a Kohen when he was younger and then messed himself up and messed his future generations up. So that's going to be the question. If you know the guy's father is a Kohen, could you therefore assume that the son is a Kohen as well? That's the shiloh we're going to look at right now. So let's look at the Beis Yosef. It's a one-liner for the Tashbates. Kasav Harav Shlomo Ben Harash Batz. I think that's the Tashbates' son, I guess. Am I getting confused? Yossi, do you remember? The Tashbates is the Rashbats, and the Shlomo is his son. Both, okay, I'm not sure. Im Yad Echad Meha Anusim. Somebody testifies. Why are we calling him one of the Anusim? I'm not sure.
Tell you what, Rabbi. The Tashbates was he lived in the 15th century in Algeria. So many of the people coming from Spain were Anusim. They were Muranos. So he's testifying about all these situations.
Could
have dealt with Anusim.
See that, you know, if he's 15th century or 1500s, I mean.
Yeah, 15th century, he's dealing with Anusim from coming from Spain.
We're after 1492. I don't know. We have to check.
Murano started 1391 with the, that's where it really was. That's where the main persecution was a century earlier.
Okay, so you're saying even during the 1400s, there was still the concept of Muranos. Okay, could be. If Yad Echad Mehanusim, She'echad Mehamuchza Pekuhuna, Malin Oso Likros Batora, V'ein Choshishin Shema Imo Goya.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
She'kol Ha'anusim, let's assume they're Muranos let's just assume at this point. Shekol Hanusim, even if a person's a Murano and they're not necessarily religious, they're not wearing tzitzis and a yarmulke, they might not even daven with a minion or daven at all or put on tefillin every day. But Shekol Hanusim nizharim mil hischatin begayim velo chayshinan lemiuta to call the parish miruba parish. Again. So Tashbetz is saying to us, I want to get this case clear because I don't have it so clearly. Im yayid echa mehanusim, she'achar mehamuchza b'kuhuna. I'm not sure who's testifying for who. Somebody is testifying about his fellow anus. One Murano is testifying about his fellow Murano that he's a Kohen. Okay, no problem. We'll call you up to the Torah. We're not going to be worried that maybe your father was a Kohen, but the Kohen, Murano Kohen, married some Spanish Christian girl. We're not going to assume that. Why? Because even though he's Murano and externally he's practicing Christianity externally, nevertheless, they were still careful, even though they weren't religious, they still wouldn't marry a non-Jewish woman. Shekol ha'anusim nizharim mil hischatin begayim. They were still careful about that. V'lo chayshinu lemiuta. What about there's a miut that maybe had some improper marriage? No, we could assume the rov, and the rov is clearly married kosher women. So let's jump to the Shulchan Aruch to see how the Shulchan Aruch brings this halacha.
Rabbi, could I go back just one moment? Talking about the student that the Rav had in his class. So this guy Yaakov, his father is Yitzchak HaKohen, right? So Yitzchak, his father Avram was certainly a great Kohen. So when Yitzchak wrote in the shtar, when he signed on the bottom of the marriage certificate, he wrote Yitzchak ben Avram HaKohen. right? Then he married this very, very, very popular young lady and had Yaakov.
Right.
Now, Yaakov, when he signs a shtar, he's Yaakov, the son of Yitzchak HaKoeh. Right? So when he signs a shtar, it's Yaakov ben Yitzchak HaKoeh. So if he's going to say that if he signs a shtar that's going to be made on his yichus, then that's really opening up a whole Pandora's box.
You're asking a great question. I'm assuming, I'm not an expert in shtaros, but I would venture a guess that he would not sign his last name HaKoeh in this case. And even though the Cohen is referring to his father, right, Yaakov ben Yitzchak HaKoeh, so too on his own ksuva. He's the chassan who's Yaakov ben his father, I mean, whatever, his father might be questionable. I'm assuming if he's not halachically a Kohen, we would not allow him to be identified in a shtar, and we would not allow him to sign. Again, he's a wonderful Yid, he got smicha, he's became fully religious, he's a ben Torah, he's building a beautiful Jewish family, but I don't think he's going to sign HaKohen or Ben HaKohen, even though his father might have been a Kohen. You know, we're just going to leave the Kohen out so as not to have any confusion moving forward.
So what was he going to sign? Yaakov HaKohen Ben Yitzchak HaKohen?
No, he's going to sign Yaakov Ben Yitzchak.
But his father's not Yitzchak. His father's Yitzchak HaKohen.
Well, his father is also Nischalel.
Okay, so what is the father supposed to write in the shtar?
Okay, so let's say the father would write a shtar. So his father is Yitzchak.
Avram was a perfectly good Kohen.
Correct.
Right?
So I don't think he would write HaKohen because it would give us a miss. Even though he's referring to his father, who is indeed a Kohen, a good Kohen, the grandfather's a good Kohen, I don't think he would be allowed to, if somebody's not a Kohen, I don't think we would allow him to write HaKohen at the end of his father's name.
Is he only married to the woman, the shiksa, the zona, once he gets rid of her or she dies, whatever? Isn't he still go back to be a regular Kohen?
No, I think he does, but the confusion, the ambiguity.
Right. We had a fellow in our community who was a Levi, who was adopted by a Yisrael. So we called him up Shmerel HaLevi, then so-and-so Yisrael.
Uh-huh.
And that was the way he did his name. And for example, if we're davening for someone who's a Levi, whose mother is not a Levi, we're going, or someone who's a Kayin, we're going to do Shmerel HaKayin Ben Shprinza, not right. Ben Shprinza HaKohen, because we don't care which Shprinza.
Right.
So that's why he was called up for Aliyahs. He was Shmerel HaLevi Ben Shlomo Zalman Yisrael, actually.
So how does that apply here? You're going to put in the Chalal?
So how are we going to deal with this Chalal?
You leave out all titles.
I'm a Gabbai. Tell me what to do.
We have a guy on one hand, and we have a guy who writes contracts on the other hand. What a shidduch.
David Malik. David Malik has a hadracha for all gaboy. And go there, open it up, and see what it says.
Right. I'm assuming we will omit, at least for a shtar, I don't know. I assume for a shtar, if a guy is himself not a Kohen, we will not want the father to be identified as Kohen either, because it will cause confusion. That's what I would venture to guess.
And that lady, Dr. Wurzberg, it's no secret. He doesn't make a secret about it. It's no Lashon Hara. He told me I should call him a Shlomo Zalman Ben, Yisrael Ben Shlomo Zalman Levi. Don't say HaLevi. Just say Levi that to identify that way. You know,
you are incorrect, sir.
That's what he told me.
You are incorrect. He would tell me Moshe Yosef Yisrael ben Shlomo Moshe Yosef HaLevi ben Shlomo Zalman.
Okay, he's here. Okay.
This is obviously before I was involved, so I can't say anything. Nor do I know the sugya. I'm sure he researched the sugya thoroughly, and he knew the psak. I do not. But it's doctor, I definitely have to. It's definitely a good shot, and I just don't know enough yet. But hopefully we'll get there. Okay, so let's look at the Shulchan Aruch here. Im Yaid Echad Mehanusim. This is the next sif. We're up to the next sif. We're ready in sif Gimel. We're flying today. Wow, it's 1.5 sifim already. We're flying. Im Yaid Echad Mehanusim. She Echad Mehamuchzak Bekahuna. Right. So one of the Muranos testifies that his friend is a Kohen. We'll accept that. Malino so likros batora. Vein choshen shema ima ovedes kochave. We're not going to be worried that the mother. You know, we know that the Kohen or the father was a Kohen, we're going to be assumed that the mother was a kosher Jewess, and therefore the son could also be a Kohen. By the way, you do see something interesting, which I don't want to focus on, is that one Murano is testifying for another Murano. You might question, maybe the one who's testifying, the Yisrael. just the one who's offering his testimony, maybe he shouldn't be a reliable source of information at all, because he himself is an anus.
Maybe it's a deal. They're doing a deal together.
That's going to be another sugya. But that would only be true, Yossi, if the deal was you testify that I'm an anus and I'll testify that I'm a Kohen and I'll testify you're a Kohen. That's going to be next week. That's next week.
Right, there's a mishnah like that.
Or maybe if I get Gomlin.
Gomlin, it's called.
That's called Gomlin, and we'll see. Do we accept such testimony when I rub your back, you rub my back, I scratch your back, you scratch my back? Or is that the fact that I'm testifying for you and you're testifying for me, does that invalidate each one? Neither of us have a witness, but that will be either later today or next week. But I don't think you have that here, because here one guy gets up, one Morano gets up and says, so-and-so is a Kohen. He's not saying anything about himself, and no one is saying anything about himself. But the post can raise the fact that you see from this, again, the Lashon of the Tashbeitz, is that we are accepting the testimony of a Morano. That itself is a gigantic chiddush. I don't know if he's Shomer Torah Mitzvahs like a regular Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. I don't know if he comes to shul every morning and puts on tefillin every day. I don't know if he benches. Yeah, maybe he lights Shabbos candles in the basement. Maybe he, I don't know enough. This is just a very important discussion about who's testify. You have a guy, if somebody would be irreligious and testify about this Shaila, would we, completely irreligious, would we accept this testimony?
And after the war, with all the agunos and all the inquiry that was so critical, they only took information from Yidden the minority of Yidden who survived the war who happened to be religious in order to free an aguna.
That's a good question. I don't know.
That's what really comes up.
It's a very important Shiloh with Aguno there, because you're just sort of clarifying information. When did so and so go to the gas chambers? Or did you know anything about this family? Were they in the city when the Germans, gathered up everybody in the city? Does that information have to come from an Orthodox Jew, a practicing Jew, or not? Okay, so I'm just pointing out, you have a Shulchan Aruch. It's a good thing to have in your pocket. When we talk about people who are forced because of their very difficult circumstances that they find themselves in, there's a Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ezra, Gimel, that says that we listen to the testimony of a Morano. That's a great historical, that's a great tidbit of Jewish not trivia. Okay. Now, what we just said is that if you know that your friend, I guess your friend's father was a Kohen, you could assume that the father married a proper woman, and therefore your body, this friend about whom you're testifying is also coming. The problem is that a little bit later in this very siman, in Shulchan Aruch, Evan HaEzer Siman Gimel, a few sifim later, we're going to have something that seems to be diametrically opposed. Because look here at Siv Vav. Misha Bav Omar, Kohen Ani. A guy comes into shul, says, I'm a Kohen. And you know what? There's even a witness who comes and says, yeah, I remember his father's in yeshiva with me. His father was a Kohen. Guess what? Sorry, buddy, that's not sufficient. If the friend testifies that I went to yeshiva with his dad, that is not sufficient. Because maybe you went to yeshiva with his dad, and his dad, when he was in high school, was a Kohen. But when his dad got married to that girl on the college campus, who was that socially active girl on the college campus, his son is not a Kohen anymore. We're only going to accept an Eid Echad to testify that someone's a Kohen, which we saw last week, 2 weeks ago, you need an Eid Echad at least, only if the testimony is about the individual himself. We do not believe, not that we don't believe, the testimony about one's father is not sufficient testimony to indicate who the son is. And this is a contradiction, the Achronim all asked, between two Se'ifim, look right above. Right above we said, in Sif Gimel, the case of the Moranos, that if you testify that somebody is a Muchsad for Kohen, we're not worried that the mother was not Jewish, we just assume the mother was fine. And three halachas later, it says, not a case of Moranos, there's a regular case where we don't believe, we don't care who the father, if the father was a Kohen, because maybe the father married somebody and maybe the son is a Chalal. So we can't rely on a testimony of who the father was. You have a stira within three halachas of the Shulchan Aruch, whether you could accept testimonies about someone's kahuna based on his father's previous status. Again, I realize that most times you have a Kohen father, the son is also Kohen. But I mean, I don't know, in the secular world, I don't even know if that's true. You know, if you go out to, you leave the tri-state area, in the non-religious community, there's a good chance that Kohen, at University of, University of Alabama, University of, UMichigan, or, all the other, the big universities that have lots of Jews there, University of Wisconsin, there are plenty of Jews in university. There are thousands of Jews in University of Wisconsin, and they don't know nothing from nothing. And just because the father happened to be a Kohen, does that mean that the son is a Kohen? I don't know.
I had a case when I was a rabbi in Saratoga Springs where a guy named Cohen came to me. He says, "Rabbi, I get a mazel tov." I said, "Great." He's marrying. It turns out he wants to marry a divorcee. So he says, "Rabbi, what do you think?" I said, "Let's talk for a second." So he says, "I've been living with a goita for 17 years. And my question is, should I marry her? Or should I marry this divorcee?"
Oh my gosh. All I can say is that I'm glad I'm not a rabbi in Saratoga Springs. Ay vey. Oh my gosh.
He married her, but then he wasn't allowed to dukhin, he wasn't allowed to get liaisons going, whatever. But these are some of the out of town trialists.
Wow. Wow. That's frightening. I don't, I wouldn't be able to answer that.
Rabbi, is it possible that the Morano situation was different?
Go ahead.
The Chazaka, they just believed that the Moranos were very insular. They just didn't marry out of the community, and therefore they had a Chazaka of Kashrus.
I hear that, and I like the Svara. The question is...
I mean, it sounds like, from the language of the Beis Yosef, that was underlying what he was saying there.
I hear that. But look at the next sif. The next sif presumably is talking about a ramish of frumayid, and we're not going to rely on it. A ramish of full frumayid in all respects, and even there we're not going to rely, just because you knew the guy in high school, your friend from high school in yeshiva, we're not confident about his son. So you tell me we're going to be more reliant on a Morano than somebody who is a ben Torah and a ben yeshiva, and still that the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Vav says Shema Chalal Hu, you can't testify about the father. You have to tell me who the kid is.
The difference between Sif Gimel and this one is that Sif Gimel, you have two aidim that the father was a kosher Kohen, right?
No, you have one aid. No, one im yoid echad mehanusim. It's one aid. They're both one aid. They're both aid echad, which is all you need in this sugya. This sugya is relying on aid echad because that's the Gemara Ksuv. The Mishnah Ksuv says you need aid echad.
So maybe this case is different because the person came forward himself and said, "I'm a Kohen," and then the aiders came afterwards.
So you're saying it's worse. If you say that you're a Kohen, we'll believe you less.
Right.
That's fascinating.
If somebody comes without any type of ulterior motive and says, "Oh, this guy's, I know his father was a Kohen," maybe it'd be different.
I hear. I like all of your svaras, but I want you to see what the Achronim do with this stira. They don't necessarily go down your path. But let's first see the question as is presented to us, this contradiction. This way on the screen, you have the first sif, where it says we believe, with the case of Moranos, where we trust the Eid Echad. The second sif, where we say, by regular person, nothing to do with Moranos, we don't rely on edus of what the father was, because maybe the son is not the same as the father. That's the stira. And here on the bottom, look at the Chokas Mechokek Zayin. Mi Kasha, how could by us, in the case of Morano, we say that we are confident that if the father was Kohen, the son is also. Kasha da b'samach, just a few halachas later, Sivav, Kasav, de'ed echad ha'meid, she'aviv Kohen, ein malina selikura shema aviv nasa halal. We're worried that maybe the father, albeit the father was a Kohen in high school, maybe he messed himself up and he married somebody who he's not allowed to marry. Vin Cain asks the Chalkas Mechokik and the Bish, and the other Achronim also ask, Yiyu apsakim sasri ahadade. We have a stira. The Kishen Dila, come on, just like in Halacha Vav, by the regular person who's testifying about, I know the father from high school, Chayshinan Shema Chalahu, Hachanami, so too by the case of the Morano, Gabi Edus Anus, Shema Aviv Nasa Chalala. We should be, even if you tell me that, yeah, most Moranos do marry Jews, Yeah, but maybe they marry divorcee Jews. Maybe they marry socially active Jews. So what is the fact that most Muranos marry Jews? Great, I get the point that most Muranos marry Jews. You want to follow Rove. But it's not just being a Kohen. It's not just a matter of being Jewish. Being a Kohen also means you marry the right girl and not a girl who had this history, not a girl who's a Giyoris, not a girl who's you know, any of the other psulim, a chalutza and a grusha. So says the Chalkes Mechokek, it's not really an answer, but look what he says. Vim Kain, Divri HaTashbeitz Shebesiv Zeh, the Ozob Shita Shar HaPoskim, Vidivri HaRabim Shebesiv Vav Hem Asosim. He's saying the Shulchan Aruch is quoting two different lines of thought. There indeed is Machlokas Rishonim about this point. Could you rely on the testimony about the father to assure us that therefore the son is also a Kohen? So the Tashbeis Ude Ime says you can rely on that. And that's Halacha Gimel. And Halacha Vav, where we're talking about the non-Murano case, in Halacha Vav, we follow the Rambam. For there, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam's opinion, who says that you don't rely on the father's status to determine the kids. But the problem is, okay, so I understand there's two different lines of thought. There's the Tashbeis in his line of thought, and there's the Rambam in his line of thought. But the problem is, how does the Shulchan Aruch passing like both of them? V'efshir. This is a svara. I liked all of your svaras, but none of you suggested this svara. Look at what his suggestion to answer this contradiction. V'efshir. The likros bat Torah, when it comes to getting a Rishon, getting a Aliyah, being called up to the Kohen, afa Rambam moda. The Rambam who said, I have to be strict, I'm not going to accept testimony just about a father, I want you to testify about him himself, he's only saying that about important things. But something leicht, something that's not so significant, it's not so grave, so it's just like getting an aliyah, Nishkefel, what's the big deal if a Kohen, an assumed Kohen got an aliyah? It doesn't hurt any of us. It doesn't take any money away from any of us. It doesn't violate any terrible halacha. So we'll be willing to be mekel. De'esher, delikros bat Torah, then have a ramamodu, delavi surahu. Oh, ubisiv vav, when the Shulchan Aruch is paskling in sivav lahachmer, that we have to know who the kid is, not who the father is. Lomari eliminisius kapayim, where there's an isser of a czar who would be no say kapayim. Vachilis truma, where if a non-coin would eat the truma, he'd violate an isser. Dehendri isser zarim. Oh, what a fabulous teretz. He's saying that the two opposing Shulchan Aruchs are talking about apples and oranges. For something that doesn't involve an isser, there we will rely on a rove, and if the father was good, we assume the kid is good. That's for all things that are, you know, in, what's the word? That non-dangerous. Help me. Give me a good word, Mr. Bergman. Things that are not dangerous. Things that are in...
Neutral.
Innocuous.
Innocuous. That was what I was looking for. Innocuous. Things that are innocuous. We'll rely on the father. But anything that carries with it some concern, like a czar who's no say kapayim, which is an issa d'oraisa, a czar eating truma d'rabbanan, d'oraisa, doesn't matter, even truma d'rabbanan, there we would be worried, and we wouldn't rely on the father's status, on testimony about the father, says, here you want to know about this guy himself, tell me who he is, not who his dad was. That's the answer, the chiluk of the chalkas mechokek. That's a very interesting distinction. Basically, it's saying, okay, we have machlokes, and I'm going to compromise. The Shulchan Aruch is compromising. He has two opinions. Do we rely on assumption of what the father is, therefore you could assume the son is okay? Machlokes. So says the Shulchan Aruch, I'll compromise, and I'll say that when there's a lot at stake, we'll be more machmir. And when there's not much at stake, like just giving a guy an aliyah, we'll be more mekel. That's the suggestion of the chalkas mechokek. Very creative, no? Very creative. Dr. Honda, what's
your question? Shulchan Aruch should express it explicitly so it's clear, right?
Halavai. If only the world worked that way. Halavai. Well, you know who holds like you, Dr. Honda, the Chazon Ish. Look at the Chazon Ish I have here quoted in the Otzar Poskim. I wasn't able to find it in the Chazon Ish for some reason. Maybe the source, the location that he cites is the wrong source. I looked it up. It's not there. But the Chazon Ish, Evan HaEzer, Havi Mashakaza Chalkas Mechalkuk Beishmo L'Chalek Bein Likros Bat Torah L'Shar Dvarim. that we saw that distinction that for things that are innocuous, we'll be willing to rely on what the father's status is, but not for a son that carries a stick. Says the Chazon Ish. Third line, the lo mashma ken klal. Like, where are you getting this from? I think he might mean without the halachas. It's not mashma that way in the Shulchan Aruch. How are you making that distinction in the Shulchan Aruch when the Shulchan Aruch doesn't make any such distinction? That was the halachas question. And furthermore, you're making up halachas. Uman safin lechadish dinim she'elim shosh b'gemara. You're making up halachas, Mr. Beis Shmuel, making up distinctions that we don't find any such distinctions in Shas. The guy named Estabek Klal, I don't even like the Svara itself. I thought it was a very impressive Svara. I was quite impressed with this Svara. It's a very lumdish Svara that there's a Stira, compromiser's resolution. He will be more makel by things that are innocuous and more machmir by things that carry some kind of punishment. Says the Chazon Ish, fourth line, V'gam Eim Estabek Klal, Devade Malin Mehatora Lishar Dvarim. The reason why, says the Chazon Ish, your logic doesn't work, because if a guy got an aliyah, guess what? If a guy got an aliyah, he will be able to also get duchening and truma derabbanan. So you're going to say, no, we're only going to give him an aliyah. We'll only believe him for an aliyah, but not for other things. But once you believe him for an aliyah, the natural flow will be that we'll also believe him, we'll also give him the other things, like it says in Ksuas Chafei. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, I don't like this distinction between important, severe halachas and less severe halachas. I think it's just a stira. I don't know what that means. Machvarta, bottom line, kachelkas walitahi pliga, that the two seifim are arguing one another. I don't know, but he's not really answering So again, he has to, I don't know where the Chazon Ish is, but the Chazon Ish apparently does not like this solution that is offered by the Chalkos Mechokek.
Okay, how he would paskin then?
I don't have the Chazon Ish inside. I don't know what he would do. What are we going to do? A guy comes in and says, I know the father from high school. Could we rely on that to give the son an Ali or not? I don't know what the Chazon Ish would tell me. I know what the Chalkos Mechokek and the Beis Shmuel and a handful of other Achronim. Between you and me, I have to be honest. The Beis Shmuel and the Chalkos Mechokek are the foundations of the Achronim on the Shulchan Aruch in the 1600s. The Chazon Ish comes 400 years later and says, I don't like your Svara. You know, the Chazon Ish is the Chazon Ish, and he's entitled to his opinion, and I'm not going to argue on him. But as far as halacha goes, we're probably going to rely on the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkos Mechokek and a whole host of other Achronim who've said this and for 400 years. We would probably not, you know, I think we might respect the Chazon Ish's, you know, unhappiness, but I don't think we would drop the Beis Shmuel and Chalkos Mechokek because of the Chazon Ish's concern. That's from a halachi perspective. Okay, finally, and this will finish with this point. Let's see what he says here. B'knesses ha'gdola, somewhere or other, Hevi b'shem hara'im, not sure what that is, he quotes, I paskin like the Tashbei, like the Kedivri ha'Rashbash. The Rashbash was the son of the Tashbeits. Got it. Yes, the Rashbash is the son of the Tashbeits. So we have the Shota Tashbeits. Do I have it here? No, but they have a nice shot. So choose the Tashbeits. The Tashbeits has a son. His last name was Duran. So to Rav Tashbeits was Rav Shmuel ben Tzemach Duran, and his son was Rav something ben Shmuel Duran. So that was the Rashbash and the Tash. Okay, so the Rashbash is the one who said, that was the case of the Muranos, where he says, we do accept the testimony of the regarding the father, that the son, and therefore assume that the father will follow Rove. The Rove is that the father married an okay woman, and therefore the kid, you could assume the kid is also kind. He says, that's the one we paskin like. Straight away, we paskin like that. Third line, and you could rely, if you have a testimony about the father, you could give the son not only an aliyah, even to give him truma, even to give it, let him duchen, not like the Beis Shmuel and the, here we're coming about with a gigantic kula, not like the chiluk of the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkim Chokei for big things, little things. No, he says, I'm going to be Mekel straight across the board. I will. If you know the father from high school, we'll give the kid not only the Rishon, we'll give him Truma. We'll give him a Sias Kapai, fourth line, Bein Lekris HaTorah Rishon, Bein Les, oh, but it's also going to carry, of course. If we know the father from high school, we're also going to aser on that son, Bein Les Olehem Nashim HaAsruas LeKuhuna, Bein Les Haras Tumas Meis, Kechol Kaneis Manenu. We're going to be Machmir, and we're going to give them everything. We'll give them full rights of a Kohen. You know the father from high school. The father was a Kohen in high school. The son is going to have all the rights of a Kohen and all the responsibilities of a Kohen. Except in the following situation. Amnam. And this might be very applicable for maybe. You have to figure out how to apply this in the secular world. Fourth to last line in the middle. Amnam. Kosav. Dibinei ha-mishumadim. Shenishtamdu miritzonam. Let's say there's a son, and his father married a, you know, was a meshumad and became a meshumad. The father became a meshumad intentionally. It's not that he was a tirshid, but he intentionally became a meshumad. And you know the son. You know that father in high school before he became a meshumad. And then he went off the derech, and now you have the son. Then if we know the father is really off the derech, then maybe there's no holds barred. The whole point of the Muranos, with the Muranos, you know, they keep their traditions. But when you have a guy who's a real Meshumid, maybe he has no qualms about marrying a non-Jewish woman, about marrying a Grusha, about marrying. Sure. Then Yesh this topic him Psul Lekunim Lav. And then Uchuvas Ksavya Lamari Yehuda Hatzerfati. I don't know who that is, but I guess somebody from France. Matsasi, he came across a Murano. He didn't allow a certain Murano to Duchin, even though the Murano's father was a Kohen, but he didn't allow the son to Duchin. But at the same time, he was Machmir, he is here, Shalo Yutam Mason. He gave him the worst of both worlds. He said, I'm not going to let you Duchin, but you still can't go to the cemetery. That's the worst of both worlds. That this I don't know who Rabbi Yehuda HaTzarfati is. I assume it's, again, somebody in the 14 or 1500s. So what do we have here? We have here a stira in Shulchan Aruch. The Chazon Ish says, it's a stira. The Beis Shmuel, you know, there we have different opinions. One is saying, no, we're gonna listen to the father. We're gonna rely on the father's status and give the son a full line of kahuna statuses. We have this one who says, Rabbi Yehuda HaTzarfati says, no, we're only gonna give him the chumras of both. But the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkas Mechokik, those are the primary poskim of the Shulchan Aruch. They made the distinction that for innocuous halachas like an aliyah, we'll give him, and more stringent halachas like eating truma and the Sias Kapayim, we will not allow him, just based on the testimony about the father. And that is what we're going to do for today. But as
it's
Hashem,
one second, the Sias Kapayim and Chutz La'aretz, the Rabbanan of the Raisa.
D'oraisa, I believe.
Okay.
Am I right? I think that's correct. The Sias Kapayim and Chutz La'aretz is d'oraisa. That was the Gruz whole tirade about that we should really institute the Sias Kapayim and Chutz La'aretz, and it's a din d'oraisa. I think that was part of the Gruz whole movement. So I think it's d'oraisa. And we did see, again, 2 weeks ago, we saw an interesting shita that maybe that Nesias Kapayim is only Nisra D'oraisa if you do, Nisra Seh, I should say, if you, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when they did Nesias Kapayim with Shem Hashem. But nowadays we do it without Shem Hashem, without the Shem HaMeforash, so it's not an Nisra Aseh D'oraisa. That was one opinion that we did see, that maybe Nesias Kapayim nowadays is less severe, but again, I don't know if that was the mainstream opinion. Be'ezus Hashem, next week we are going to talk about the Sugya of Gomlim, which means you need an aide to testify that somebody's a Kohen to give them a full status of a Kohen. The problem is, I walk into shul and you walk into shul. I walk in and say, this guy's a Kohen. He walks into shul and says, he's a Kohen. So that's a question of Gomlin. Are we worried? Do we question their honesty because each one is standing to gain? And maybe they have some kind of, in Hebrew they say, kombina, a deal with one the other, where they're each, you know, scratching the other one's back to get something good for themselves. It's sometimes like you have two, swindler people who, like Mishalachim, who are swindlers, not that most are like this, but there might be a case where, you know, one guy comes, oh, his stucca is a really good stucca. You should give, don't worry about me. His stucca is a really good stucca. And the other guy comes and says, I'm okay. And that's such a big stucca. But this guy, oh, he has, you know, 17 and a half kids. He really needs the stucca, you know? So, you know, they both make more money that way.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.